Trent Cotney and John Kinney are dedicated to helping the construction industry with legal, business, and safety challenges. Welcome to this week's episode of Law and Mortar.
Hey, this is Trent Cotney. I'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Law and Mortar. This is Magica episode 88. As always, I'm here with John Kinney. John, how are you doing?
Doing great. It's always good to be here and talk about what's hot and what's not out there. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's interesting. I always joke around, it's gotten to where I don't trust the news. I don't trust social media. But if that phone rings, then I know there's something to it, especially if I get multiple calls. And, it's still hottest topic of conversation right now is subs, subcontractors, how to use them, how to manage them. As I think we've talked about on previous episodes, they recently did a change to Department of Labor, did a change to the independent contractor rule that is more employee friendly now, meaning that they're looking to say that you misclassified a subcontractor and they should really be an employee and you should be paying payroll tax on them. So as you can imagine, John, I've been fielding a ton of calls, from contractors concerned about that, asking what they can do to shore up their subcontracts, et cetera. Also, some regulations that I've seen. Minnesota's got a regulation right now that is pretty tough on misclassification. And what they're doing up there, John, is they've got this interagency type of action where their Department of Labor and their tax department, everything, they're all going to communicate together. So if you get fined with one, you're going to get fined by all of them. A little scary for contractors. But what are you hearing? I know from the business and operations side, you've got to have contractors that are concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, even I talked to one the other day around even in the here in the state of Florida, the workman's comp board, the ones that will go around and check your workman's comp right on the jobs. You don't usually hear too much about that, but they got somebody on sub. So a lot of times I hear from contractors, it's the federal government with these new sub. Well, no, the states are all going to be on board with it too, because that's lost revenue that they're seeing if it starts to go. So I think it is a big problem. But from the business side, I think taking the legal side out that you just covered and all that, there's a huge issue on managing, accounting for, and dealing with subcontractors, which of course then create even more legal issues down the road. But one of the things, like I talk, when it comes just to estimating and pricing, are you getting a clear scope with your subcontractors? Because it's important. You're responsible for them. Work down the line with your client. Is it being done correctly? Quality, safety, managing subcontractors. Honestly, if you're into a world of subcontractors, you almost need one in-house employee supervisor to full-time sit on a job to make sure that your company's reputation, your safety, your legal aspects are all being protected. It's not as easy as just thinking that you're a construction manager like a GC is and having a job field office and managing a bunch of subs. It's a whole new world, I think, for contractors on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. It's, it's interesting. I was up in Chicago earlier in the week and I'm talking to some contractors and they're just lamenting that the fact that they can't keep up with the regulation. It's almost like you got to start factoring into your budget, a percentage just to deal and implement the new regulations, everything from, the fees associated with creating whatever documents you need to, new operations issues, administrative downtime, whatever it might be. It is very, very difficult, especially in certain states, to be a roofing contractor, right? And that unfortunately, that's got to get passed on somewhere. So, making sure that you're taking that into account in your bidding and your submittal of proposals is important.
It's not easy. It's a lot of things to account for that you're not used to. So you may be taking the direct labor factor out. That's a roll of the die, right? You're either on, you're off, but you're bringing on a whole other host of issues that you're not aware of because you haven't done this before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, along those lines, marketing is, an ever changing thing as well. And, especially if you're doing storm or insurance work, there are a lot of rules and regulations that govern, everything from door to door to right to cancellation to, do not call list. But recently the FCC had some interesting opinions and some rulemaking that, required some additional consent to be had if you are engaged in any kind of, calling or texting or things of that nature. And it's interesting because, this constant ebb and flow and changes of the rules, it's very difficult to keep up with. But I can tell you, those plaintiffs' lawyers, they're keeping up with it, and that's the problem. So, what's your recommendation for contractors out there? Do you think they should, do marketing in-house, do it, outside? What kind of best practices can they implement to kind of protect themselves?
Well, I think that is a great question, and I think some of it is driven by the size of the contractor and what they can afford. So, if you definitely outside guidance, you have to have, and again, it comes down to what we've always talked about in anything in business. You got to have a good, solid policy and procedure, even if you're doing it in-house, to avoid getting in those pitfalls. But what usually happens is most people who do it in-house up to a certain size, especially. There is no tracking. It may be multiple employees in the company doing social media posts on behalf of the company, which I know you're going to tell us that that is like the worst thing that you can do without having controls over it. Besides what we've seen with the pictures of unsafety and that. And I think it is good sometimes to use an outsider, have a consultant availability on the outside with marketing to make sure you're staying out of trouble. Because that was some interesting stuff that you covered in that and you talked about with the FCC is I don't think a lot of people were even aware. And that's the whole key. How do you become aware of all this? Because what is marketing really part of your business? All you're thinking about in marketing as a contractor is how is it going to drive more successful leads and clients into my business? Other than that, that's really about your deep thought pattern.
Yeah, and it's tough for a business owner because you're focused on keeping the lights on, making payroll, all that kind of stuff. It's what you don't know that kind of keeps you up at night. There's so many rules and regulations and taxes and this, that, and the other. And the best way to keep informed, obviously, is talk to your peers, get involved with groups, associations, things like that. You got to stay in the know. Listen, go to Roofer's Coffee Shop, go to Roofing Contractor, go to all the resources out there that are discussing the construction related issues. And keep your ears open. That's the only way you're going to hear about some of this stuff because a lot of it does fly under the radar. And it's like everything in construction, it's not a problem until it's a problem, and then it's a big problem.
Exactly. Until you're defending something that you went down the wrong road, then that's when it becomes a real problem.
So I want to talk a little bit now, John, about what we got coming up. I know you got some exciting things coming up. I'm gonna be speaking for NRCA. I'm speaking on the latest contract provisions. So I'm doing 25 new contract provisions that have been drafted for very specific situations. These aren't boilerplate type things. I'm gonna roll that out in a webinar presentation, and then hopefully get some good questions out of that. Obviously, a lot of other things coming up as we move into summer, including FRSA's Expo. But I understand, you've got a lot of interesting things going on with estimating training. Why don't you tell the folks what you're doing?
Yeah, I've been, those that follow on the posts on social media, going back to that, I've been traveling pretty much around the different areas of the country doing a couple day worth of really intense estimating training. So, why I say it's really intense because it could be spread out over a week, but we're doing it in 2 days. I am getting you the basics and the understanding from beginner all the way up to more of the skills and the art part of estimating. So that's looking real good. And we can announce here today, actually in July, I haven't made the official announcement, but I'm going to have a 2 day workshop academy right here in Lakeland, Florida, that'll open up to the industry. And that's where we're going to deep dive. We're going to really get into that commercial estimating woes of understanding of how you put FM to work, how you do ASCEs, how all those things affect in roofing. Because if you know me, and I know a lot of you do know me, I am a super fond believer that estimating is the first foundation block that you've got to get right. When that's off, everything else doesn't matter. You're building a house on top of a styrofoam foundation, and that's not good. So, yeah, we enjoy that. And again, we got the FRSA coming up, and I'm looking forward to that in June this year, early June.
Yeah, June a little bit early. Well, I'm not just saying this because you and I are on this podcast together, but I've had the privilege of being able to see some of your seminars and webinars on estimating. And I gotta tell you are the guru when it comes to deep dive estimating. A lot of the stuff that's out there is fluff, is feel good type stuff. You really go into depth. And if you are a true estimator, or you're someone that wants to get into that, this is that type of course. This is not fluff. This is, it's real world stuff. And even though, like, I got to count on my fingers, I'm not that bright when it comes to that kind of stuff. Just listening to it really helped me get a better understanding, from an outsider looking in, what goes into it. So really encourage everybody to take advantage of John. He is a resource for the industry. To be perfectly frank, I can't think of anybody that has your experience or is offering what you do in the estimating realm. So, kudos to you. Along those lines, perfect segue, John.
All right. Favorite time
So,
of the week.
yep, favorite time of the week. Now that I buttered you up, now
Yeah.
you got now you got tough questions here. So this one is from Sandra. I'll summarize it here. Sandra's got a question about estimating. She wants to know best practices for trying to figure out materials. And she's concerned. Obviously, she doesn't want to get in trouble because she doesn't want to start sharing stuff with competitors or necessarily ask for information that might get her in trouble. But she's looking for better understanding of how to mark up materials on a bid. Obviously, you got to pay an out-of-pocket cost to, a distributor, or if you're direct from manufacturer, it is what it is. But, how do you go about just general? How do you deal with that? Clearly, labor rates, sounds like she's got her arms around, but what would you do on materials, and how do you figure out what a good markup is?
Well, it's a that's a great question, and it varies between company, but first thing you do is make sure you got all your materials right. That's where I see most of the mistakes being made. So I always, when I talk to somebody and I'm training them, you want to be able to close your eyes and visualize how you're building that roof once you have the understanding of the specs and the outcome. Then you get your list of materials, list them all accurately, keep your units the same so you're not mixing it up. What I mean by that is, if you've got a pail of glue, don't call it a pail in one spot and a gallon in another and in each. Whatever you're going to use as your units, get that right. Now, as far as what you're asking in pricing, there's two steps to that. If you're, and I think part of this was, I don't really want to talk to my competitors or get it out there. One thing you can do as far as getting your pricing from your vendors or suppliers, you can work with them ahead of time and kind of get a pre-price list based upon the quantity and the type of materials you're doing, and have that set up with your vendors that they're going to give you an early alert to when prices are going to change. So that way you don't have to do it on every job. Then other than that, just make sure you got your taxes included on top of it. And then whatever your overhead is of your company, that is a markup. That's, you mark that on top of it. And then whatever your profit strategy is that you want to make at the very end, that's what goes into your overall markup. So I know you kind of have a broad question. I hope I answered that to what you were looking for. But if not, please feel free to send us an email, an email, reach out later, and I can deep dive more into it.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And the key thing is just stay consistent, right? It doesn't matter how many times you've done something. And, great examples. I'm getting ready to file a lien foreclosure suit. I've probably filed 1,000 plus at this point in my life. I still go back to the rudimentary form and make sure I've checked every box. Even doesn't matter how many times I've done it, I still go through that. And it's that routinization where you make sure that you're not missing anything, double and triple check.
And you have to be right.
Yep, absolutely. What is it? Slow is smooth, smooth is fast, right?
There you go.
All right. Well, another great episode, John. Thanks as always. I'd like to, thank all our listeners out there for making us number one construction law podcast in the world. We will continue to keep you updated and hopefully get another podcast episode out here in the next week or two. If you ever need to reach me, you can reach me. I'm Trent Cotney. You can reach me on social at Trent Cotney or trent.cotney@arlaw.com. John, how can they get you?
Same way, John Kenny on social media, or you can reach out me email, which is jkenny@cotneyconsulting.com. Always looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, great. Thank you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care now.